Hey there, I hope you're all well. Here is our next podcast in our series to accompany our fat loss circus class. This podcast, we're going to be dealing with alcohol and whether or not you can or you shouldn't drink whilst trying to lose weight or lose fat. This podcast works really well with our podcast on hydration. If you haven't heard this one already, please check them out on our website. It is www.fit-school.co.uk. And I would definitely recommend you listening to these two podcasts, either back to back or as close together as you can. Now, alcohol is a very interesting topic, definitely with regards to weight loss and fat loss. Most people will often say, I know I need to stop drinking because of blah, blah, blah. Or they'll say, I know alcohol is bad for me and I shouldn't drink it. Or you have people on the other side of the argument who say, alcohol gives me the benefits from the antioxidants and all that kind of stuff. But really, what we'd rather do is just give you the information, give you some facts, and then you can make better choices yourself. Because we're not going to stand here and say, it's good or it's bad. It's all about, as a client said to me, knowing your poison. Most of my clients do like to drink, and they do it in conjunction with a good diet and a active lifestyle. And to be honest, that's what we would advise as well. Not total abstinence, just know exactly what you're getting involved in. But before you do that, here's the information which may sway you one way or another as to whether you can drink or you shouldn't drink when you're trying to lose fat or lose weight. So, alcohol, unfortunately, is a poison. There's no other way to dress that up. And it's how your body breaks down the poison which creates some of the desirable effects people are trying to achieve from drinking, which could be relaxing in general, loss of inhibition, and maybe stress management. And it also contributes to some of the negative side effects, which at a sort of a mild level could be hangover, and then at a more severe level, there could be alcohol poisoning. Now, your liver can detoxify one unit of alcohol every hour. Any more than this, and again, this heavily contributes to at least mild alcohol poisoning, if not severe alcohol poisoning. Because what happens is you've got too much alcohol circulating through your bloodstream, and it's too much for your liver to cope with. So also when you drink, it can make you heavily dehydrated. And when you dehydrate yourself, or even your brain to a certain degree, that again can contribute to the hangovers. So we'll get to that later about hydration, which is why it's important to listen to the hydration podcast first. But hydration and alcohol consumption really go hand in hand together. Now, when alcohol makes you relax, how it works is that it affects the neurotransmitters in the brain. And all a neurotransmitter is that it either excites or inhibits or blocks brain electrical energy. And there is a neurotransmitter known as GABA. And GABA, G-A-B-A, alcohol inhibits the effects of this, and what this causes, increases the inhibitory effects of GABA. And what this actually does is that it makes movements more sluggish and it affects mental clarity. And this can contribute to just slurred speech, forgetfulness, also loss of inhibition as well. So again, some of the, say, more desirable effects or features of drinking we're trying to achieve, this is how they actually work in a biological level. Alcohol can also affect hormone release, and an important hormone is testosterone. Testosterone is known as the male sex hormone. It's named this, however, women do have testosterone as well. Testosterone production is crucial for fat loss and weight loss. Generally, it's a hormone which we associate with building lean tissue, and therefore it's more prevalent in men than in women. It can also affect sort of bone structure as well through puberty, bone growth, muscle development, and fat stores as well. But we try and manipulate testosterone through exercise, and exercise can actually increase the amount of testosterone you're producing, not to the degree of a pharmaceutical level, which is what some bodybuilders do, but just to a level where you can build lean tissue and definitely burn fat. As mentioned, boys and girls and males and females do produce testosterone, even though females produce it at a much lower level. Testosterone really shows itself during puberty or the growth phase in adolescence, because what you'll see here is in boys in particular, With the elevation of testosterone, you'll see an increase in lean tissue, broadening of the shoulders, a leaning out around the midsection, and even bone structure as well will start to change. Whereas females, on the other hand, will start to become softer, full around the hips, and increase in body fat stores around the arms and also breast tissue as well. Now, because women have a fraction of testosterone compared to men, they would really benefit from doing weights and weight training especially. Because what you're going to get is you get the stress of the muscle tissue and you'll get a fraction of the response a man would. So if you were looking to sort of get the best out of your workout and lose as much fat as possible, as much weight as possible, by stressing your muscle out, you would get the metabolic benefits. So fat burning during the session and the fat burning after the session and calories burning. But you wouldn't get maybe some of the less desirable effects of weight training, which could be building a lot of lean tissue. Now, women tend to be quite worried about lifting weights because they'll say to me, I don't want to look like the bodybuilder around the corner, or that woman looks like a man. Well, here's a few things to think about before you ever say that again. Number one is bodybuilders most likely have a favorable genetic advantage for their discipline, i.e. they've got elevated levels of testosterone. This is also true for women as well. Because if you notice, some of the very, very muscular women who compete in bodybuilding also have very strong jaws. And a strong jaw is more a male feature, which could indicate they've got more testosterone than the average female. Number two is that these people live in a gym. That's what they do 24/7. So if you dedicated every waking hour to one thing, you'll most likely look at the sort of extreme end of the average person who does that discipline. And then number three, which should never be overlooked, is a lot of these people are on steroids or take drugs. So don't worry about ever thinking you're ever going to look like a bodybuilder unless you live in a gym, you've got high levels of testosterone in the first place, and then also you're taking steroids. So I'm assuming most of you don't, so don't worry about that one. Now, there have also been some important studies done on alcohol consumption and sports injuries. And what's interesting is that it can affect the muscle energy storage. So what that means is you're not going to store as much energy for your next training session. This is definitely important for athletes and sportsmen and women who are trying to maximize each session and minimize days lost to recovery. So that's one reason why a lot of athletes don't really drink. It's not because they're trying to be super healthy. It's that they don't want to waste days where they are recovering, because even though you might think that when you finish drinking on, I don't know, Friday night at 2 or 3 in the morning, by Saturday morning at 10, 11, the session's over. It's not really. You're still recovering through Saturday, probably through Sunday, probably through Monday and even Tuesday. But you'll not notice it as much because you're not pushing yourself to the limit, let's say an athlete would be, because they are trying to get the most out of their body, they will see even a 1% reduction in their muscle storage capacity. Now, alcohol can also affect your heart rate and also the stress to the heart as well. And it's something I've got to monitor quite a lot with my clients who do like to have a drink. And it's done via a test known as HRV. And HRV is simply known as heart rate variability. What this does is it measures the differences between each beat over the period of a minute. So let's say your heart rate beats at 60 beats a minute. You might think, well, that's one beat per second, roughly. Well, that's the average, but it doesn't beat in a linear fashion over 60 seconds, one beat every second. It might beat quickly and slow down and so on and so forth. And it has its own individual rhythm. And what we've found out now is that this individual rhythm can indicate whether you're under stress. And if you're under high stress, you can then determine whether to train harder or not train as hard. And I've actually found this out with certain clients I've tested. And sometimes I've had to tell clients that they can't train because there's just, there'll be no benefit. The best thing for them is to recover and rest. Also, what I've found is anyone who drinks, even like 3 or 4 drinks the night before, and they train, it could be 12 hours later, even though the liver will have had time to detoxify itself of 1 unit per hour, that the heart rate is still roughly 10 beats per minute above their normal resting rate. So what that says to me is that they're going to find something that used to be a 5 or a 6 out of 10 on a difficulty scale, and now it's an 8 or a 9 out of 10. So you've got to adjust and play around with the figures and know what that person is going to be like when they walk through that door. Alcohol destroys the villi, and the villi are what line the small intestine, and what this does is it basically absorbs nutrients to be passed through the small intestine for absorption into the bloodstream in the body. And again, once these are destroyed, it just affects then how you absorb nutrients. And to be honest, it's the last thing you want to do if you're trying to lose fat and lose weight. Your body will definitely not favour fat loss or weight loss if it's trying to compensate for something else, because it will think, it will sense there's danger, and it'll say, you know what, fat loss is so low down on my priority list, let's focus on something else much more important. Alcohol is also a diuretic, and what a diuretic does is it elevates the amount of water loss and urine through your body. And it does this by losing more water than you're taking on board. So again, linking it back to hydration, if we're trying to create this watery environment for fat loss to occur, and at the same time we're losing water, then we're almost just taking two steps backwards before we've even gone forwards. So you might be thinking, well, what's the good news? Well, I mentioned earlier, this isn't going to be about telling you that you shouldn't drink and it's all bad for you. That's just some facts about it. But again, when we're talking about drinking, we've got to differentiate between having a drink, which is maybe a glass of wine or a bottle of beer or a shandy or whatever it is, versus a session, which is above and beyond the recommended units for a man and a woman. And they are 2 to 3 for a woman of units and 3 to 4 units for a man per day, that is. And also, you can't save them up. Don't think you can. It doesn't work that way. So if you wanted a little drink every now and again, it really isn't going to be the thing that prevents you from losing fat or losing weight. If you find you're not able to lose fat, lose weight, and in fact the opposite happens, you're putting on weight, there'll be some other aspect of your nutrition that's the cause, or you'll be drinking far too much. But if you are thinking about having a drink every now and again, follow these tips for better health and better success with weight loss and fat loss. Tip number 1, always ensure you've had a meal prior to having a drink. Now, the old wives' tale about milk lining your stomach is actually true, but it only really applies for full-fat milk. For skimmed and semi-skimmed, it doesn't really work that way, to be honest. Because what that does is the fat just slows down the release and therefore the absorption of alcohol from your gut into the bloodstream. And it therefore gives your liver that chance to detoxify that 1 unit per hour. So definitely have some food. And if you can't have food before you go out, just grab some nuts that you can have at the bar or wherever you are with your friends. Number 2, rehydrate yourself prior to drinking, during your drinks, and then after as well. Even if you're just having a couple, again, if they're under the units for the day. So follow the process we outlined in the hydration podcast. Get used to having a glass of water or a watered down juice with your drink at the bar with your friends. And then get used to, when you're getting in or getting home, having another drink, a glass of water or whatever you can find, just to hydrate yourself. And then tip number 3, just try and space out your drinks. So you're having a couple of drinks after work or at home. Try and again, think about your liver having to detoxify 1 unit per hour. And if you have more than that within an hour, it's just you're into overload. So just space it out, have it with a meal, and just have it to enjoy yourself and to relax. So hopefully all those tips will make sense, and hopefully they'll help you with your fat loss and weight loss goals. Hope to join you on the next podcast, and I'll speak to you then.